Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Alrighty, folks, I really treasure the opportunity to speak with a legend each and every week, Coach Carson. Coach has an amazing community, small and mighty investors, and he got a question from that we're going to riff on a little bit. Chad, why don't you go ahead and set it up?
Thanks for having me, Michael. The question was from someone who said, hey, I'm later in life and I'm trying to build wealth. And this particular person was over 50. They said, you know, my timetable is a little different. I hear all this advice for 30-year-olds and 35-year-olds and 20-year-olds. I think I need a little bit different customized advice. I want to retire in seven years or so. I've already gotten started, but this person's feeling anxious. They're feeling like they're running out of time. They're taking care of their teenage turning into adult kids. They're also taking care of their parents. It's just a unique situation with someone in that age group. I thought it'd be fun for you and me. You know, I'm 44. Yeah. I'm not in that demographic, but I've worked with a lot of people who are, and I know you've worked with a lot of students as well. I'd love to rip on that and get your take on it, Michael, and I'd be happy to share some of my take on that approach. Should they approach it differently? Is it the same? If it's different, how do they approach it a little differently?
Yeah, so I'm actually in that bracket, right? I'm 51, hitting on 52. I'm going to make some assumptions. I don't know this individual, obviously, so please correct me if any of this is off. So when I think about a 50-year-old myself, right, we're at the point in our career where we're making, I'll say, a good amount of money, right? You're probably in your highest income years at that point, right? You've been in your profession for 20 years and you're making some coin. So that's going to be one assumption I have. Second, myself included, we're in what's often called the sandwich generation, right? We're Generation X. We are now responsible for taking care of our baby boomer parents, and we probably have millennial kids. This is who I am. This is my exact situation. And, you know, it's tough. The pressure grows. I mean, I'm in this exact situation, boomer parents, millennial kids. And the one thing I will say I'm encouraged by this particular question is he's given them 7 years. I've heard some people in this situation set unrealistic goals like 1 or 2. If you want to do this in 1 or 2 years, real estate's not your thing. You should start a small business or something else because you need time. So I guess the first thing I would talk about is you need to be in a situation where you need to have down payment capital every year for the next 7 years. If you're at the income level where that's not a problem, great. If you're at an income level where you got to make some sacrifices, cut out the third car, don't do the crazy vacations, so be it. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. That's kind of where I start. I'll let you kind of go another direction or point me somewhere.
Yeah, I like you started with the big picture and also got into the tactics. You need to save a down payment a year. I love that. It's just one property at a time, one rental at a time. The thing I would say, I want to start like kind of mindset wise, and then I have some tactics ideas too. I've gotten this question a lot over the years, and the impulse that you described is the common one I get too, is that I use the metaphor of like a football game. I played football in college, and very often when you're losing a game and you're late in the game, the temptation, if you're a fan watching, you're like, they're going to have to go 80 yards on this football field. And there's only like 60 seconds. And the temptation is just throw it as far as you can.
Hail Mary.
Yeah. Hail Mary, just right away, you know? And that's the temptation. And that's the equivalent of somebody saying, I got to make a bunch of cash flow this year. I got to buy a bunch of properties this year. It's too late. And that's actually the wrong way to win a football game. A football game, if you're in the 2-minute drill, you actually throw a lot of very safe, short passes. But you're also urgent. I mean, there is a sense of urgency. You're not relaxing. You're not saying, oh, I've got 20 years. I mean, the urgency is fine, but the panic is not fine. There's a difference. There's an urgency.
Yes.
I got to make some good passes. I got to make some consistent plays. I would equate this to real estate is you do need to be more conservative. than someone's in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's, so that's the mindset. And I don't know if you have any.
No, I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. I love how your brain works. You have the risk of a mistake or the penalty of a mistake when you're over 50 and you've got 7 years left, it's going to leave a bigger mark. So you're absolutely right. The other thing that I think of in that lens is please don't get enamored with out of area or out of state investing. I can't tell you how many people looked at that as the Hail Mary. I go back to, I wrote about it in my book. One of the things I can still flash back to is I was working at Hewlett Packard, HP. Olivia and I at this point probably had 50 properties. I walk into this SVP's office and he's got a whiteboard listing out four properties he's going to buy in Louisiana right after Katrina, because there was this kind of depreciation or one-time thing or whatever. And I look at his spreadsheet or look at the whiteboard and it's got these negative numbers at the bottom. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's like a negative $1,000 or negative $2,000. What are you doing? And he's like, Michael, you don't get it. I can afford it. You know, my pay package, blah, blah, blah. And I tried to talk him out of it and he didn't. And he bought them. He bought all four. And lo and behold, we go through the Great Recession. He lost them all. Never lost his job, but property values went down and he gave them back. Which, don't get enamored with cheap or spreadsheet math. Really got to get, you got to protect the downside. You got to be really certain.
I agree. And really, let's talk strategy. So if you're trying to move yourself down the football field, and the equivalent is, you said the key word is, you still have time. Mm-hmm. If you have 7 years, if you have 8, 9, 10 years, like that's enough time to still play the capital appreciation game.
Yes.
Which is what we're doing. Although cash flow, you do want to make sure a property cash flows. You're not going to get rich. You're not going to get out of that game making $100 and $200 per month in cash flow.
No.
What you're going to make is, like, following the fundamentals that you and I teach, is buying a good location, mm-hmm. buy a quality property, finance it conservatively, make sure you know, each property stands on its own. But then the tailwinds are going to be buying in quality locations with quality properties, and the rents are going to go up over time. The price is going to go up over time. If you save up extra cash, you get a bonus at work. You can eventually do what I like to do. Once you stack up 5, 6, 7 properties, start paying off some debt on a couple properties to try to get those free and clear. Like the game plan is the same. It's just, you got to be really consistent. You got to be really focused. And I would say avoid the shiny objects, like you said. Avoid the Katrina best deal ever kind of thing.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Do the boring vanilla stuff. You got to stick with those little short passes instead of the long crazy passes, because that's what's going to get you there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an insight. I'm calling it a TV show. It's not a TV show. It's a YouTube show called Buying Vegas, where Olivia and I are going to document the process of learning the market and ultimately buying something. Right now, we're still recording it, but right now my leading opportunity is a single family home on a city lot. So 8,000, maybe 8 to 10,000 square foot lots, so that I could drop a casita, what they call a casita, what you may call an ADU in other parts of the country, in the backyard. And I might add a special wrinkle and focus on hospitals, so that I could rent to traveling nurses or doctors or whatever. Right. I might do furnished midterm rentals. And again, you've got to find areas to add value. If I had 7 years left in a brand new market, I would probably do that. I would probably do single family homes, good locations with rental demand. And I would absolutely, if my city or state allowed it, add ADUs. Because right now you can add ADUs and it just increases the value, but more importantly, cash flow. So if I was this person and you were in the right locale, I would buy 7 single family homes on a lot where an ADU could be added pretty easily. And then, you know, maybe year 3, you add the first ADU, and then year 4, you add the second ADU. So you go from having 7 to 14 income streams over 7 or 8 years. I think that's the model I would do.
I like it. I love ADUs. I've actually interviewed Derek on at your conference, and I'm going to have him on my show here pretty soon, publish his episode. But yeah, ADUs are, I think the meta theme there is, you're finding a competitive advantage
Yep.
But you're not like changing the core fundamentals of what your strategy is.
Yeah. And I'm not chasing somebody else's shiny object. I think you said that earlier. And I see so many people that the clock is ticking. And if you're over 50, the clock is ticking. It's just, I'm there. I understand. But you don't, there's urgency and then there's rushing, like you said. Don't walk up to the line with 3 minutes left and just throw, you know, deep, you know, Hail Marys. That's not the right thing to do. It might work out, but the odds are it won't.
Yeah. And you can run the math on this kind of thing. So you can say, all right, if I put $50,000 or $100,000 down per year for 7 years, that's, you know, that's the amount of equity you have right there. But then you could calculate a conservative equity growth on that. And you can, you can set a goal. You can say, I want to have a certain net worth by the end of those 7 years. And here's my conservative approach. I'm going to pay down some debt using amortization of my loan. I've got my down payments. Maybe I have a little bit of appreciation growth. You can work it backwards and say, all right, I either need to put more money down or that's going to be sufficient. And at that point, it's a behavior thing.
And here's here's the magic of the math behind 7 years. 7 years is just long enough. 8, 9, or 10 is a little bit better, but 7's long enough. Because here's the deal. You put a decent down payment on your first property year one. It cash flows year one. You go forward 7, 8, 9 years, you could do a rate and term refi, which will lower the payment, or you can do a cash out refi if the rates and situations are better. And you could extract some of your initial capital, if not all or most of it, but borrowed money is not taxable. So you could take that money out and you could live on it in theory, right? Every year you could take 40 grand out of one of your 7 purchases as an example. And that's 40 grand that you don't pay taxes on.
Yeah. Like 60, 70 grand if you had to pay taxes on it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. You're very flexible. And then the other tactic I would add is like real estate to me is always like we're real estate people. That's the foundation. But if you are in the 2-minute drill of life, you need to start putting all your assets on the table and looking at it a little bit more holistically. You have your retirement accounts. And if you have a 401k and you've got $300,000 in your 401k, you know, you're 50, 51, 59 and a half is the year you can start drawing out of that. That's in play. Like that's for me, when I'm looking at my 401k in my 30s, it's kind of, and a lot of people are like, that's that thing. It's kind of my backup plan and my real estate thing one of these days. And it's important, but it's not as practical or as tactical. Whereas if you're in your 50s, like you could keep investing in the stock market. Like I love index funds, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I also know people though, who have also deployed kind of a parallel strategy with their self-directed retirement account. For example, if you're, this is a little bit more advanced, a little bit more experienced, but you could do hard money lending out of your 401k, do a self-directed retirement account. You could buy rental properties.
Yeah, I'll even go one better. I mean, one of the things that I did repeatedly every year for the last 10 years of being employed is I borrowed from my 401k. Mm. Now, not all 401ks allow you to do that. Mine did, but I borrowed somewhere between 50 and 100 grand every year for 10 or 11 years to buy a property. Yeah. And there I paid myself back interest. It's awesome. Go.
Yeah, exactly. Another sort of, because capital's, you know, you got to have that capital for the down payments. So there's the 401k, the self-directed retirement account, like that's just another, if you've got a significant amount of money there, that is part of your plan as well, with the end goal being having a certain net worth, a certain amount of cash flow. And then I would, you know, Social Security.
Well, let's poke at that. Because I talked about on my daily financial news today that the average American thinks they need $1.5 million dollars to retire.
Yeah.
That obviously is a net worth number. I got to tell you, coach, that drives me batshit crazy. I don't want people worried about a net worth number. I want them thinking about how much money comes in every month that they don't have to sell their life 1 hour at a time. I want to take the fundamental logic of how much your net worth has to be to how much cash flow has to come in every month. Because that's how you get to enough. Right? Exactly. Back to your talk at the Vegas event, it's the cash flow number. We are fundamentally wired or marketed to think net worth. And I don't think it's a net worth problem. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, you can always turn net worth into cash flow. But the problem, because if you, for example, just an easy example, if you had a house that had $100,000 in equity, theoretically, you could sell that house and then turn that equity into something that makes cash flow. Sure. With real estate, that there's a couple steps to do that. So that theory, but the difference between theory and practice is where you have a lot of real estate investors who are equity rich, cash poor. I think that's what I'm hearing between the lines there, is that you need to think about both, but cash flow is out what you eat. That's how you actually retire.
It's the wrong goal. I really do think it's the wrong goal. Cause I think for me, much of life is, what am I driving towards? Because what you're driving towards is the direction you're going. And if you're focused on if you're 51 or 38 or 22, and you're only worried about net worth, you're investing one way. But if you step back and go, you know what? I need $8,000 a month to live, or I need $11,000, or shoot, I need $4,000. You invest different. I think we've fundamentally wired to think about the wrong thing.
I would add something, maybe a little color commentary to that, because I do think net worth is important, but I think the caveat is, when I think about $100,000 in net worth, I think about the equivalent of that is $6,000 in cash flow. Let me unpack that. So like, if you have $100,000, I know that's a low number for houses in most parts of the country, but I feel very confident that if you searched hard, if you learn what Michael teaches, you learn what I teach, you could find a quality residential property somewhere in this country that if you spent $200,000, you could make $12,000 net.
Okay.
On that property, if you just bought it free and clear, if you just paid cash for that property. And so I look at real estate as a pretty good vehicle to make a 6% very conservative cash return. If your net worth is $1 million, then conservatively I translate that to $60,000. Now the reason I think that's important is because I see so many people think I have to have cash flow today. When really the goal is to have cash flow 7 years from now.
Oh, I agree with that. Yes.
And so they take on these high cash flow deals that aren't necessarily going to grow to the point where they're going to produce that $60,000 per year. I think that's the disconnect that I see a lot of people. They focus on cash flow so much today that I like to emphasize net worth and say, hey, look, your goal is to grow the cash flow, is to grow the net worth, and use whatever tactic you can get to get there. But you got to take what the market gives you. You got to take what your situation is, and that's the tricky strategy part that I think for a lot of people they miss that step.
I mean, I have no idea how you're going to answer the following question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
All right.
What kind of real estate market do you like? So generally speaking, there are highly volatile markets and more the boring kind of low degree. Yeah. So does coach like I'm in a 3% market for the last 30 years, or do I like a market that's up 12% and then down 14? Which kind of market do you like to play in, or does it bother you either way?
Well, just the one I have played in is the boring market for sure. I'm in the Southern United States, South Carolina. We've seen a steady, I'm in a college town as well. So our college has grown. But the upstate of South Carolina is mainly industry driven, BMW, Michelin, automobile manufacturing. There's population growth from tourism. So the point is, like, we're just one of those steady, people moving in kind of growth. But the appreciation rate overall has been about 3% for the whole market. But then if you find good neighborhoods, you can find 5%, over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Because one of the things that I always thought was interesting, it's funny because I invested in the other market. Right. Fresno, California was the top appreciation market 2 years in a row, I think 2004 and 2005. It then goes down 75% over the course of 5 years, then makes a round trip over the next 10 years. And again, maybe it's just the market I've been in, is because if I watch it and I do my homework daily, I can get out at the top, which I've got receipts, right? We wrote about it in this book. So all 8 homes at the peak, got into apartments, then built it back up. And I've been very clear with folks. My strategy over the next 24 months is probably going to be to 1031 out of houses back into multifamily. Why? Because houses will be stupidly priced and multifamily will be distressed. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the different markets, different strategies. I think going back to the 50-year-old, I mean, you can make money in both. It's gonna be a roller coaster. If you're in the volatile markets, you got to really be careful on knowing where you are.
Yeah.
Pay attention to. I mean, I think you can be a little, I wouldn't say dumb about it, but you can just be more patient. You can be patient. You can be just long-term focused with some of the stable markets. It's not as
what I would tell you, if you really only had 7 years, you don't want to play in my market. I'll say that, because when I think about this person who's 51, you know, getting going, is you want the slow and steady. You don't have time for a mistake, back to our earlier point. Right. So I would tell you, if you're 51, you want to market much more like South Carolina than Fresno. But if you're 31,
Fresno could be pretty fun. You're probably going to be twice as wealthy as somebody who started 30s.
But you need
South
20
Carolina.
Years. Yeah, that's the key. It's 20.
Exactly. It's kind of like the stock market to me. I mean, the stock market, I'm a index fund investor, but if I were going to try to depend on my returns from the stock market in the next 5 to 7 years, I would be super nervous. But if I'm going to say 20 years, like I feel great. I feel great about the United States. I feel great about the economy. It's just a matter of perspective and timing. And that's really what we're talking about today, is that you got to know your timing, and then you got to match your strategy, your market to that timing, and don't go for the Hail Marys and the in-between. That's the main message.
Yeah. When I think about this individual, kind of unpack everything, is you have enough time. 7 years is just enough. I do think our earlier point about markets, I would definitely do the slow and boring, less riskier. Your outcomes will be less diverse. Single family homes, good neighborhoods. 7 years is just enough. 8 is better to do the recycling of cash flow or recycle of equity, which I love. But yeah, you could also start paying off. I love the ADU approach. Buy 7 houses, add ADUs when it makes sense, or casitas, depending on where you are. I would tell that 51-year-old, you got this. It's going to take work. You got to make some choices, but absolutely possible.
I agree. You got this, and it's not going to be easy, but you're gonna get there. And the fact that you're already asking these questions and you're already buying properties, you got the tailwinds behind you. I feel good about it.
No, totally agree. Coach, you're an amazing coach. You're an amazing leader. I've had some people comment on my channel talking about your book, The Small and Mighty Investor, being the best real estate book they have ever written. Wow. So kudos to you.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you for having me. It's always fun, and look forward to the next one.
There you go. Thank you.